Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, and welcome back to Family Talk, the listener-supported broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you're going to hear the conclusion of a conversation that Dr. Dobson had with Hugh and Cindy McMiniman about Cindy's book called When a Woman Inspires Her Husband. The first half of the conversation was featured on yesterday's edition of Family Talk, and it was filled with practical tips and encouragement for husbands and wives. If you missed that broadcast, you can find it by visiting drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Hugh and Cindy McMiniman have been married for more than 30 years and spend much of their time serving together in ministry. He was a pastor and Bible teacher on staff at North Coast Calvary Chapel in Carlsbad, California. Cindy is a dedicated pastor's wife, a national speaker and author. She's written more than a dozen books, including the bestseller When Women Walk Alone, which has sold more than 120,000 copies. She's made numerous TV and radio appearances and is the director of the women's ministry, Strength for the Soul. Her mission is to bring women into deeper intimacy with God. Let's listen now as this classic broadcast, which was recorded a few years ago and features our special ministry friend and former co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Dr. Meeker has practiced pediatric and adolescent medicine for over 30 years now. She's a best-selling author, a speaker, podcaster, and a dedicated wife and mother. To begin today's broadcast, Dr. Dobson asked Cindy McMiniman what a woman can do to encourage her husband and how she can nurture good communication with him. Let's listen in right now.
Welcome back to Family Talk.
Great to be back with you.
It's good to be back again, Dr. Dobson.
Cindy, some of the other things that you wrote in the way of suggestions, many men will stop communication if you have let him know he's a failure at communicating.
Yes, I remember when Hugh came home one evening and he walked through the door, and I wasn't aware I was doing this, but within the first 15 or 20 minutes, I let him know everything that wasn't working right around here and everything that was wrong with him. And I honestly did not intend to do that. And he told me, he said, you know, Cindy, in all the counseling that I've done with other men who've come to me, he said, and in marriages, as well as in our relationship, he said, I will tell you one thing. A man faces a battle at work, and he doesn't want to have to face a battle when he comes home. He said, a man will gravitate to where he feels successful. If he feels he's not succeeding at home as a husband, as a father, as somebody that can fix things, if he's not succeeding at home, he will not want to be at home very much.
You said treat him like a winner at home and he'll want to be there more often.
Yes. Yeah. The whole king of the castle thing. I remember when Dana was little and Dad would come through the door, Daddy, and she'd go running to him and hug him. Boy, he loved being home. And I even looked at that one day and thought, why am I not running down the stairs saying, Hugh, you're home, and hugging him? Boy, wouldn't he want to come home to me a little bit sooner?
Some women are saying right now, you got to be kidding. I got to go running down the hall to meet my husband when he arrives, when I'm waiting for him to come home and tell me I'm doing a good job.
It really is that sense of the home being a place of peace and that sanctuary that men you really need. You know, as Cindy said, you know, they battle traffic getting to work. They're battling a coworker or a client or some deal at work. They're battling their way home from in traffic, and then they want to come home and at least, you know, get some serenity. And if that home where the wife is involved in that and helping to create that can be that, boy, I mean, that's a nice place to come to.
Hmm.
And if you can feel like a winner when you come home, yeah.
Cindy, what do you say to women who are working outside the home and they're coming home at 5 o'clock at the same time their husband is coming home at 5 o'clock and say, well, that sounds wonderful. I'd love to have and I know you talk about creating a lovely, peaceful environment, having things picked up, and I completely agree with you, but they say, you know, I'm as tired as he is at the end of the day, so why should I have to be the one to compliment him and cheer him on? Shouldn't he be doing that for me? Can you speak to exhausted women who are working inside, but mostly outside the home.
Yes, I kept those women in mind as I wrote this and interviewed several of those wives that work full time, even situations where the wives worked and the husbands were unemployed or disabled and they were the ones that were home. And I had wives tell me, yeah, you know, I get home and I'm tired, but I try to use that drive home to just kind of decompress and say, okay, God, I have these certain needs. And I'm tired, but God, would you just fuel me up with that energy? Help me to extend grace and to just be the person that I want him to be toward me. I find that we can diffuse a lot of arguments. We can diffuse a lot of tension by not just reacting, by not escalating the situation and just having that peaceful mode. And hopefully that will be contagious, as well as being able to talk at a good time with our husbands about some of those things when we need what we need when we come home. I found it's never a good time to tell our husband what we need when he's hungry.
No, no, you know? I learned that too.
Or when the football game's on. Or yeah. Yeah.
You talk in your book about being a cheerleader mm-hmm. for your husband, right. And you use the word C-H-E-E-R. With those letters representing a suggestion. Tell us what they are.
Yes. C is come alongside him. Be that partner that we were created to be. Be his helper. A lot of times when Hugh and I are just working on a project, or I just come along in support and let him know, you know, I believe that you can do this. That's mm-hmm. huge to him. Even if he doesn't physically want my help in something that he's doing, just to know that I'm in his corner helps him. The H in cheer is help him look good. All the time. It is so easy for us to cut our husbands down without even realizing it, because again, we can come across as critical. And one way is just to not correct them in front of other people. I've found myself in a situation one time when, you know, Hugh's telling a story and he goes, you know, and it was a Wednesday night, and I'll say, no, it was a Thursday. Does it really matter? Do I need to point out things like that? But I need to always make him look good, especially in front of others.
Okay, that's C-H.
Yeah. Here's an E. Encourage him personally. Maybe sometimes it's simply saying, you know what, you're an awesome man, or I am such a lucky woman to have you. Or I looked around the room and you're still the one that I would pick in a heartbeat. Thank you for what you do for me and for our family. Thank you for being a good provider. And then another E is elevate him in front of others. Not just, well, make him look good and help him avoid looking bad, but actually lifting him up. I have seen men just come alive when their wives will brag on them in public. Mm-hmm. And they'll think, wow, I'm her hero, and she's letting everyone know. Now we got an R. Respond to him enthusiastically. Even if you don't like his idea, let him know, you know what? Let's think about that. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you thought of that. Let's talk about that more. I really want to hear more from you. If we are not enthusiastic when we respond to what our husbands suggest, to what they want to do, they're going to quit suggesting. Again, men can end up going passive and going silent if we're not responding enthusiastically like that cheerleader in their life.
You know, I've said this a number of times, and some of our listeners will have heard it, but I want to say it again, that when I first married Shirley, I had not yet done anything. I was in graduate school, and I hadn't accomplished a lot. But she let me know that she believed in me. And I mean, she really believed in me, and she built something within me that allowed me to go out and to compete in a marketplace of ideas and to take a chance and to, you know, reaching for a doctorate with a lot of competition and the other things. I have said I would not be doing what I am today and what I've done for these 53 years that we've been married if she did not just say those things mechanically, but she believed it. She believed. She would say to me, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with our lives because of you. I mean, she wasn't feeling put upon mm-hmm. by building me up like that. She believed it. And it made a big difference in my life.
I noticed that when I worry about things or stress about things and ask Hugh, how are we going to do this, that wears on him. Because he's already thinking about those things. He's already wanting to be the provider. But when I say, you know what, you can do this, and we can do this together. And like you said, I'm excited to see this. His whole countenance changes. So I can see that in him, too, as his eyes light up. My wife does believe in me. Maybe I can do this.
Did you do it also, Meg?
I did. You know, I found that, you know, sometimes you can start encouraging your husband or saying things to build them up, and you might say it with a half heart at the beginning. But one of the amazing things to me was the more I encouraged and applauded Walt and told him, you know, I remember just the other day we were sitting talking and he said, "Boy, I'm one lucky man." And I said, "Yes, you are, because you will never," I said, "you will never find a woman who's going to think you're more wonderful than I do."
Oh, I like
and,
that.
and I meant it with all of my heart. But 20, maybe 25 years ago, I couldn't have said it with that much enthusiasm, but I mean it from the bottom of my soul. And that draws you closer together, because then he feels better and I feel better. But, you know, during those rough years when you have small kids and you're not feeling very affectionate or very adoring of your husband, that can be hard to do. You know, and that's one of the things I was going to ask you, Cindy, as I was listening to you go through the mnemonic cheer. If there are women out there who are having a really rough time in their marriage right now, do you think it's smart for them to try this even though they may not be feeling it, or should they wait until they feel positive about their husbands to give them that encouragement?
What I've seen in my own life is sometimes we start something out of obligation, and eventually it becomes something we do out of inspiration. It's never good to say something that's insincere. But again, going back to that place where in my life, there have been some times when I didn't feel like encouraging Hugh when he came home, just events in my life or something that I felt that he should have given me. And I had to come back to God, put in my heart the way I need to feel toward him, change my heart toward him, help me to extend grace, help me to treat him today the way I really, really want him to treat me. And sometimes we have to call upon that supernaturally. But God's always faithful, yes, and he gives us that heart.
Hugh, weigh in here. How do you see the things that are written in this book?
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about that trust factor and, you know, cheering your husband on. And I just want to say also that, you know, a marriage also needs to be a place where, you know, there's freedom to fail, because guys are going to make mistakes and they're going to have grand ideas and they're going to suggest something that's not always going to work out right. And I think, you know, men and women and husbands and wives, they need to be able to just say to each other, you know, that didn't work out okay, but I trust you. But, you know, it didn't destroy everything. And, you know, let's just recover from that and move on. So I think with that honesty and that transparency, that's so huge for a marriage. You know, and Cindy talking about the feelings, you know, I find out that sometimes, you know, if I'm obedient and following what God wants me to do, the feelings sometimes come later. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, yeah, I don't feel like studying the Word right now. I don't feel like, you know, being in that mode of worship, but I know it's what God is wanting me to do. And then all of a sudden I find out, hey, I'm enjoying this. And it really, I'm liking what's happening here. And so sometimes the feelings, the emotions will follow to enforce the fact that I did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, what do you say to the woman out there who says, yeah, but you don't know my husband?
Right.
I mean, you know, there are some men that are not good husbands. Some of them are alcoholics, and some of them are workaholics, and some of them have no clue as to what a woman wants or needs. Yeah. The need to talk, the need to be affirmed, mm-hmm, all of that. You run into those kind of women, don't you?
I do. And I often say, I don't know your husband, but I do know your God and what he's, yeah, like. And God knows your heart and your husband's heart. And when we have a heart to do the right thing, when we have a heart to show that unconditional love, to extend grace even when it's not deserved, to love our husbands the way God loves us, again, God always changes something. He changes our heart, and he transforms us as wives, and that in turn transforms a marriage. In the last chapter of When a Woman Inspires Her Husband, it's called Loving Him as God Does. And I use those examples of how God loves us, and I ask wives to imitate those ways that God loves us toward their husbands. And I know as I've done that in my marriage, as I've counseled other women to do that in their marriages, it's huge. Even with a husband who is not open and receptive to the things of God, he begins to see unconditional love and grace that his wife shows him. Mm. And that gives him a glimpse of God's love for him.
You're speaking all over the country, and the Lord has really opened a tremendous ministry to you here. I mentioned in the first program the other books that you've written. You're really making a contribution. But what do you feel when you're out there and you're looking in the eyes of the women that are there? What do you hear from them, and how do you feel when you see them getting it and understanding? Do you have that sense of accomplishment?
You know what? It's always humbling to me to think that anything in my life or my marriage can actually help somebody else. That's the power of God, and I'm amazed by that. It's so encouraging to me to see women truly do want their marriages to work. They really do want to make the effort. Again, I thought a lot of women would be closed off to when a woman inspires her husband. And every once in a while, I'll hear someone say, well, when are you going to write about how my husband can inspire me? But for the most part, they're picking it up and they're saying, I want to read it. And I want to do one more thing that I need to grow. So it's very exciting to see them get it. And like I said, it's humbling, too, that God can use any of us to impact anyone's life.
You have one daughter.
That's right.
One child.
Mm-hmm. Dana.
Yeah, Dana. And she's now 21.
She's 21 years old.
And graduating from college.
About to graduate from Cal Baptist in Riverside, California.
And she has a role in the church.
Yes. She's our worship director at church. She's very musically talented. She can write. She can speak. I think she got the best of both of us. She
You have a great relationship with her.
I do. I enjoy times with my daughter. I have two older sisters, and there's three kids in our family. And, I didn't have any brothers around or anything growing up. But for some reason, God just allowed me and my daughter to have a great friendship. We went to a concert the other night together and just had fun, you know. And this camping trip, like we said, we did years and years ago. Just for some reason, God has just allowed us to really enjoy each other as people. And I just have loved to watch her, the way she's growing up, and like Cindy said, getting the best from both of us. And I'm pretty sure we're laying a good foundation for her, for whatever, how God's going to use her and his kingdom for ministry and his glory.
Dana knows our marriage is real, okay? She knows at times, you know, there's days when she's like, why are you guys talking on the radio about marriage? Because she sees a lot of it, but she also knows what we've tried to instill in her, and that even when situations might look impossible or frustrating, that we know the God of the impossible, and he's always come through for us.
I think one other thing, too, is that, you know, our daughter, she hasn't seen a perfect marriage, but she's seen two parents that when things get a little stressed, they're willing to work it out, and they've found a solution. I think that's maybe the biggest lesson she's learned is that, yeah, mom and dad had a little spat, but you know what? They stuck in until they got it worked out. I think that's a great lesson for her to observe.
I wish every child could say that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that as she moves forward into her dating relationships, into her marriage, you know, you have freed her up to really respect and love her husband rather than growing up hearing her dad constantly criticized and put down. I think women often forget the effect that it has on our kids, which is we're really harming their future, particularly daughters, their future relationships with their husbands, and our sons, their future relationships with their wives, because kids will repeat what they see and what they know. So I just wanted to put a plug in how positive and wonderful this work could be on children in the marriage.
Well, Cindy and Hugh, I'd like to wrap up the second program by talking about your book itself. When a Woman Inspires Her Husband is the title of it, Understanding and Affirming the Man in Your Life. And on the back cover, it says, how can you become your husband's number one fan? And that's the cheerleader idea. Mm-hmm. And let me read. God created your man with a unique set of qualities and talents. There's no one else like him in the whole world. And God brought you alongside him in marriage to love and support him as only a wife can. Discover how you can be an encourager and motivator, the inspiration and admiration behind your husband, the wind beneath his wings, as you understand his world, become his cheerleader, appreciate his differences, ease his burdens, and encourage him to dream. You know, another book, you maybe this is yours, can be When a Man Inspires His Wife.
Because
there are two sides to this, and I bet you've heard it, haven't you?
I think the other side needs to come out too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the book is filled with practical information coming right out of life. And I really enjoyed having you as our guest today. And Meg, you want to close it out here?
Absolutely. You know, Hugh and Cindy, I'm just so encouraged by the work that you're doing, and I just feel so honored to be able to talk with you today and ask these wonderful questions and learn myself about, you know, what we wives can do to really encourage our husbands and put our whole families back on track. And I can testify that what you write about really does work, because I've lived it for 32 years with my husband, and well, most of the 32 years, 28 out of 32, whatever. But it really does work, and I'd encourage all our listeners out there to buy a copy of the book, to read the book, and to give it a go, because it really is good stuff, and it really allows God to work in wonderful ways in a marriage.
Well, our guests have been Cindy and Hugh McMiniman, and once again, Cindy is the author of a number of books that our listeners are going to want to find in the bookstores because the titles are fascinating. Yeah, want to move to Colorado Springs?
I love it here. It's beautiful. You're having some great weather here.
Well, it's been good to have you. And Dr. Meeker, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker.
Well, our listeners can go to drjamesdobson.org and find out more about the book and find out where they can also get the other books that you've written. God's blessings to you all. You love the Lord, don't you?
Oh, we do.
Yeah, that's right.
It shows in what you've said.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Well, our guests on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk have been husband and wife team Hugh and Cindy McMiniman. Like Dr. Dobson said, you can visit our broadcast page on our website to learn more about the McMinimans, their ministries, and Cindy's books, including When a Woman Inspires Her Husband. Just go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcast for more information. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. And by the way, while you're there, you can also learn more about Dr. Meg Meeker and her ministry, Meeker Parenting. As always, feel free to give us a call at 877-732-6825. We're happy to answer your questions about the broadcast, the ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. We can suggest a resource for you or pray with you. Again, that number is 877-732-6825. Now, before we go, Dr. Dobson would like to share some exciting news with our listeners. Doctor?
Before we end this program, I want to remind you that right now is a great time to partner with us at James Dobson Family Institute. Every dollar you give will be doubled thanks to a very generous matching grant. This match will stay in place until we've hit our target. I hope you will stand with us in our fight for marriages and families. If you are able to support us, know that any amount that you give will have a major impact on the people that we're able to reach. Learn how you can partner with us and participate by going to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, remember you can also send your tax-deductible gift by mail. Just address your check to the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Again, that address is the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80949. Thanks again for joining us today here on Family Talk. It's because of listeners like you that we can bring quality programs like this every day. Your gift to the ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute goes a long way in helping us create the resources we provide for families in need everywhere. Thanks again for your support, and thanks again for listening today. God's blessings to you and your family. And be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hey everyone, did you know that radio is more popular now than ever? A new feature here at Family Talk we're excited to announce. It's called the Station Finder feature. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. I want to tell you how you can listen to our daily broadcast on a station near you. Go to the broadcast menu at drjamesdobson.org, then click on the Family Talk radio stations button. Once you're there, you're going to see an interactive map of radio affiliates, which, by the way, is growing every day. Simply click on your home state, and then you'll see where our broadcast is airing in your town. Stop randomly spinning around the dial, hoping to find Dr. Dobson and Family Talk. Go to drjamesdobson.org and take advantage of this brand new Station Finder feature.